It's about my immense hatred for mathematics. Mathematics, especially algebra. Like, I was really good up until ninth grade. You know, I could do long division and I could do all that stuff. But then in algebra, I just didn't want to do it. I didn't even want to listen. I didn't want to have anything to do with it. And so I started getting rebellious. You know, I started solving for R and C instead of X and Y. and then they came in one day and the lady, she said, like, they went through imaginary numbers. And I said, man, that's it. I'm having just a shitload of trouble with the real numbers. You want to do imaginary numbers. And I said, no. I don't care what you do to me. You know, I don't care. You know, and I'd already been kicked out of school for having hair over my collar and not wearing socks and not being able to get my hands above the typewriter. And the dean had come up to me in the parking lot and he said, how old are you? I said, 16. He goes, you don't have to come to school anymore. And I said, man, it's your job to keep us in school. This is not you. So by this time, I had so little to lose that I just refused to do imaginary numbers at all. And my grade didn't change because it couldn't get much lower. But this is about actually, of course, as that thing, way things go, using algebra later. It still doesn't redeem the shit, but I used it later anyway. So imaginary numbers. In high school algebra, I decided not to believe in imaginary numbers. It seemed my right. Who could force me to believe in Peter Pan, to resurrect my lost Santa Claus, to put my family back together, make love, loyalty, and honesty inviolable virtues again? I didn't care to solve for X and Y, RBI maybe, or the number 351, Clemente's batting average. I liked 9, the bottom of, 2 outs, 2 on, 2 strikes, the symmetry of that, and maybe imagining me driving a ball into the gap 10 feet from the outstretched glove of either fielder, the ball two-hopping the 325 sign. These imaginary numbers I could live with. I told Mrs. Whoever was there then in the geometry of the institutional green classroom that I would not figure her imaginary numbers. The numbers on the clock were real enough. I could do long division in my head and make change for a dollar. Even the supposedly more real polynomials, the simplified factors that lived on both sides of an equation, were lines less real than the railroad tracks that split black from white in our small coastal town. 2. Long after my denial of algebra sent me to the dean's office where abstract and fraction was added to my dismissal of socks, my advocacy of a woman's right to wear blue jeans, to the number of times I'd been cited for my hair falling over my shirt collar, I was in a field of palmetto scrub with a survey crew. Our efforts to find a property line, an iron pipe, a monument, something we were looking for with chains and machete tips had proven futile. Our party chief, maybe a bit too drug-addled and Vietnam-weary to remember, said, what's that theorem, that formula for finding things, triangulating? And I heard again the hollow echo, the soft voice in the green room, and said, Pythagoras, A squared plus B squared equals C squared. We had the numbers in our hands. A we chained from a tin tab into the street. B pulled from a good corner. We squared them, worked the numbers, turned the angles. We walked the line with our chain, and there it was. For a moment, maybe a whole afternoon, I believed in algebra, in all its magic and alchemy. But the day ended, night washed over us, and then the next day, and the next day followed.